Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We keep starting the podcast with stories that I've tried to ignore. Not necessarily ignore, just not include on the podcast. But then they blossom, they grow, they keep going, and I can't ignore them anymore. One is so close to me personally in my professional experience in my lifetime that I've actually, and I've got some really strong opinions about all this, so I've tried to avoid this over the past few months, but I can't anymore. And it's kind of crazy what's going on. At Channel 5 here in Kansas City, KCTV, which is based in Fairway, they're owned by Gray Media. That's the parent company. And the third journalist in 4 months is now suing Gray Media for discrimination. And I can't any longer just sit back and not comment on what's going on here, because this is obviously, you know, a lot of these places, the workers are in a union, they're in AFTRA or different unions. And so they're at times, like the auto workers, they'll combine together and say, okay, we're going to go get the man here. We're going to get our raise. The auto workers want a 40% raise, so they're on strike. We see things like that. In journalism, the latest tactic, and it's actually some of this has been going on for quite a while, but the latest tactic at many of these particular outlets is multiple employees suing the company at the same time for similar discrimination lawsuits. In other words, they're painting the company as something that's unfair, unreal. This is an impossible, untenable situation, and you created it, and it's not fair to me and my career. So let me tell you, give you the background here. The one you know most is probably meteorologist Erin Little. She has filed suit against KCTV5 over age and gender. She's white. This has been won before. It goes all the way back to the 80s or 90s with Christine Kraft at Channel 9. If you wonder why so many of the females at Channel 9 are so old, past retirement age, and still on television, it's they can't get rid of any of them. Because decades ago, they replaced an anchor with a younger anchor and lost an age discrimination suit. So Channel 9 is handcuffed completely, especially with older female employees, of which they're still bloated with older employees at Channel 9. It's not really how the game is played. I want you to think of television journalism, as I talk about this, as a sports team. Imagine the Chiefs being bogged down with 52-year-old players because you can't get rid of them because of age. Or the Royals have a 61-year-old pitcher because, you know, you can't get rid of them because of age. I want you to think of that, okay? So here's what's going on at KCTV5. Erin Little is claiming that, you know, she didn't get the right treatment or whatever as a meteorologist because of her age, and she's a female. Kelly Taylor, who is black, previously had filed suit against Gray Media, Channel 5, because they discriminated against her and demoted her from being an anchor to a field reporter. Here's what this is remarkable. She claimed, Kelly Taylor claimed that she had shift work sleep disorder. If you're anchoring the news, you work early in the morning, you work late at night, whatever. She had shift work sleep disorder. She lost her energy and lost weight, and she was demoted to a field reporter because she called in sick too many times. And she called in sick a lot. And so she's suing them for getting demoted for a job she physically can't do. She physically cannot do the job because she claims she has a sleep disorder because it is shift work. And she's in the shift work business. And so they demoted her to a regular schedule where she could sleep until 8:30 every morning, come to work, be a field reporter, and go home. She took it as a demotion and she's suing them. It's unbelievable. Here's the third. And this just happened this week. And I don't know this person, because this person was just hired about like a year and a half ago. And I have not been around the news conferences and the TV reporters and those people. Like I had for 33 years, but I don't anymore. I'm not around these people. So I don't know this young man. His name is Adam Orduna. You probably don't know him either. He's in the sports department at Channel 5. I don't know. He was hired basically, it sounds like, to do what I was hired to do. And this is why I'm finally speaking about this. At Channel 4, when I was hired in 1988, I was sports producer. I was not allowed on the air. I wasn't even allowed to run a camera. Back then, the photographers got the cameras, the reporters got the microphone, the anchors got the seat at the desk, and the producers wrote all the scripts, set up all the interviews, went out many times and did the interviews, came back, edited things up, and make it look like the anchor was there or the reporter was there. And I would produce a lot of things for the sports department. That's what I was hired as. That's why I left Joplin, where I was an anchor, and came to Kansas City to be off the air. It paid $3,000 more, and I got to Kansas City. And I thought, well, I'll prove to them that I'm a good enough broadcaster. I was never worried about my broadcast skills. It's like, I'll get there, they'll see it, and I'll be fine. So Adam Orduna comes here, and they make him a multimedia journalist. That means he has to shoot, he has to write, he has to edit, he has to do all these other things. But they didn't technically have a ban on him from anchoring if it had to be. So there was another person in the sports department that was in charge of making the schedules. And the only thing that person was told, who was white, and Orduna is black, the only thing the white person apparently was told was don't let him work more than 40 hours. If Adam works more than 40 hours, it's going to cost us money. There'll be additional compensation based on the employment agreement, whatever. So it wasn't that you couldn't anchor. He was scheduled to anchor at one point on a Saturday, but after he worked half a day on Saturday, he'd reached 40 hours, and this supervisor said, nope, you're not anchoring, go home. We'll figure it out, I'll anchor, somebody else will do it. And so he's claiming that there is discrimination against him for being black. It gets better than that. He gets called in by the news director and says, look, I'm not stopping you from anchoring. Go ahead and, you know, whatever, give it a shot. It's okay. Just work it out within the schedule. So they work it out within the schedule, and this young man anchors, and it is so bad because he's never anchored before, and they hire people without much experience, right? It's so bad she has to call him in and sit him down and say, okay, you're not experienced enough for this market. That wasn't very good. And the news director, this is the news director now, this is the big boss of the whole thing, said, look, you'll be right in the eye, and said, quote, you're not strong enough for this market, unquote. Now, that happens 1,000 times a day in broadcasting. You're not good enough. I lost track of how many times I was told I was not good enough. It got old. It got lazy and easy for people to say. The problem with moving, like my difficulty at Channel 4 getting promoted was, it would create a problem. They'd have to hire somebody else. What they always want to do in television news is just keep everybody where they are. No promotions, nobody leaves, whatever. Because you don't want to have to try to go to hire. You don't want change. You just want day in and day out, you want everything to stay the same. It's really quite remarkable. And so I went through this. And a couple of times, I was passed over for anchoring jobs by black sports journalists who were hired to do it. Al Wallace and subsequently after that, John Kelly. And I was like, well, this isn't going to happen. My news director was Joyce Reed. She was a very strong woman, a very capable woman, but a very... and professional, but she was wild now. Okay. There were a lot of stories about what she did after hours and things like that. It was like, she was living the fast life, right? I was not, I was married with kids trying to become a sports anchor. So she hires a guy named John Kelly, who I think is still around, maybe doing some game show or something somewhere, who had played backup running back at Nebraska. And he looked like a Calvin Klein model. I mean, the best looking black dude you ever saw, just like, mwah. You know, you could immediately walk in a room and you just have a man crush on the guy. They bring him in to try out to become an anchor, and he can't read a teleprompter. Like, he's never done it. He's never even tried before. And they're going to make this former running back who didn't really play, but looked great on camera, she's going to make him into a star. And she looked me right in the eye and says, I'm hiring him, not you, for this job. I'm not promoting you, because I was a good producer. They didn't want to have to hire a new producer. I'm hiring you, and I want you to help him learn how to be a broadcaster. I'm like, wait, you're telling me I'm not a broadcaster. I'm a producer, but you want me to teach him how to be a broadcaster. Yes, that's right. She'd seen my tape. She saw my work. She knew I could do it. Passed over. He was better looking than me. Now, I don't know what was going on between her and him, or if there was anything going on between her and him. John was a nice enough guy. I never disliked the guy. We didn't really have a problem. I thought he was a bit of a dunce. He didn't know anything about sports or journalism and couldn't read a teleprompter. I mean, he was the male version of the ditzy bimbo blonde news anchor who doesn't know anything. That was John. And my job was to teach him how to do what they thought I wasn't good enough to do. remarkable. Okay. And at the time I thought, well, okay, I'm going to find my way. I'm going to be okay. And I did have these thoughts in my head. Look, I'm being discriminated against here twice now because I'm white. There weren't enough black anchors. In those days, the news departments felt like there weren't enough qualified black journalists to do the deep, hard jobs. So let's either make them a weatherman or a sports guy. And that's what they do. In fact, I think somebody wrote a book one time that worked at CBS News that says, when all else fails, have the black guy do sports. It was sort of tongue-in-cheek about how silly television news is and unserious about integrating. And so I have all these life experiences of all these things and all these different people who told me I wasn't good enough. And now I'm listening to some guy named Adam Orduna file a lawsuit that he'd never anchored. And when he did, it didn't go well. And his news director said, you're not strong enough for this market. Keep doing what you're doing. Practice on the side. Get better. And maybe it'll work out for you. And he's suing their ass for racial discrimination because his supervisor is white. Gray Media has previously settled cases like this, and I think the sharks are in the water. I think they're all there. Typically what you do is this is where you either bail out or you become the employee that can't be fired. That's the only two options here for these people. If you get your lawsuit and it settles, the settlement becomes you move on, or the settlement is you keep your job, you're there for life. You're like a tenured professor. They then can't touch you once you've done that. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Here's the deal. Journalism, television news, sports radio, this industry, podcasting, you make it if you're good. That's it. There's nothing else. It's no different than sports. I mean, have you ever heard of people in sports being cut from a team and claiming racial discrimination? No. You know why you don't hear that? Because you can watch them practice, play, you can see the stats, you can see the numbers, and you know who's winning and you know who's losing. And it is not very hard to do in broadcasting. The easiest thing for me to do is turn on my television and watch the local news and say, wow, that person has no chance or and should be out of the business and I can't believe they're working, or wow, that person's got something. That's the easiest thing for me to spot. I told this to Dane and Hughes on Monday. We played in the Chiefs Ambassadors golf tournament. And he was our celebrity in the group. And I said, Dane, and, you know, and I hadn't talked to him in a while. And we've never talked broadcasting before. I had him on my show a few times back in the days. I covered him when I was in television. He played in the 90s for Marty's teams. Great guy. I said, you know why you're so good at what you do? And they made a really good move to make Dane the analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network. I said, you know why you're so good at what you do? And he says, not really. Because he's never really studied broadcasting or thought about it. And I don't study it much or think about it much. I'm not a technician. I think it should be conversational. I think you should be natural. I think people have it or don't. I said, Dane, and you're good at it because you know what you see on the field. And you know how to say it in a way that we understand. And you're telling us things that we don't know. And he goes, dude, I'm just, you know, saying on the air what I see. And I said, that's exactly right. But you get it and you know how to do it. And you do it in short, you know, it's very difficult to be an analyst with, especially with Mitch Holthus. He loves his airtime. Mitch wants the microphone the whole time. If he had his way, he probably wouldn't have an analyst. He'd just do the whole broadcast. That isn't how it works. But Dana does a great job on there. And I can't say that he would be a natural broadcaster in a format like this. I don't know that he could, you know, just open a microphone and do a 50-minute podcast every day. But as a sports analyst and as a broadcaster, he has it. And you can tell it right away. He sees what's going on the field. He tells you what's going on. It's fantastic. He's great. And you can spot that with people very quickly, whether it's with your ear or your eyes. And I'm guessing, I only really know Erin Little's work. She's fine. I've never watched Erin Little and thought, well, there's the gifted one. You know, Erin Little's going to Good Morning America next. No, I've never thought that. But man, the sharks are circling at Channel 5. This is crazy. Three lawsuits in 4 months, all claiming discrimination. My favorite is the shift work sleep disorder problem. No energy, lost weight. So they took my anchor job away from me and put me out as a field reporter and gave me a regular 9-to-5 job. Well, that seems like a reasonable decision to me. You go, you're leading the team in sick days, right? You're leading the league in sick days. You're leading Kansas City in sick days. And you walk in and you tell them that you've been diagnosed with sleep disorder and they put you on a regular schedule. So you can go to sleep at 10:30 every night and wake up at 8 in the morning if you need to and come into work and be a field reporter. You're suing them for that? Oh, my God. Woo, boy. As the business changed. Crazy stuff. Shout out to our friends in Kansas City, Missouri. The receipts are in for the Kansas City, Missouri. The city of Kansas City, Missouri spent $25,000 on a streetcar that is Barbie themed. Have you seen the streetcar? The dream car, the dream streetcar that's Barbie themed. The receipts are in. There's no vote on these things. They just spend the money they don't have. This is what Democrats do. $25,000 to paint up and wrap a streetcar in a Barbie theme. You know, if this was like the Johnson County streetcar, maybe I could see it. Kansas City, Missouri? Really? That thing going up and down the street in Kansas City, Missouri? You think the people that live in Kansas City, Missouri are big Barbie watchers? Oh, boy. There's some weird stuff in the world. Shout out to my buddy, Spencer Marquardt. He sent me an email yesterday. Their newest knife at Finch Knife goes out. And I always like to mention these when they do this, when the new series comes out. But he really stunned me with this one. I opened the email and what did I see? I saw a wasp. And he knows I hate wasps. You all know I hate stinging insects. I said, oh my God, is that a wasp or a yellow jacket? And he responded back, our new knife is called the Stinger. I was like, jeez. And part of their artwork is a wasp. Now that's not on the knife. It's a beautiful knife. It debuts on Friday. He likes me to mention a few days before it comes out, just a few days, that it's coming. On Friday, the new Stinger model is available at finchknifeco.com. That's finchknifeco.com. These will not be available in stores yet. So you can't get them at the regular store locations, retails. There's only one other place other than Finch Knife Co. that you can get it, and that is Smoky Mountain Knife Works. That is smkw.com. Now, it's a little more difficult to find there, because this is the largest knife retailer in the world online, and they have every knife company there is. Smoky Mountain Knife Works, smkw.com. But if you go there and enough knives are purchased at Smoky Mountain, maybe Finch gets elevated a little bit at that store. So I don't know. I haven't talked to Spencer about that. But if you're going to buy one of these Stingers, it might actually be better for Finch if you go to smkw.com and find it there and get it through them. I know this. It would be great for Finch Knives if their visibility was elevated at that site. And the way your visibility gets elevated is by selling more knives at their site. So I think that's great. He mentioned that it's there. I don't think they care whether you go to finchknifeco.com or smkw.com. By the way, at smkw.com, you can see all their knives too. It just says knife makers brands by alphabetized, and you click on F and it comes down and you'll see Finch pop up there. FinchKnifeCo.com. Congratulations, Spencer, Steve, on the Stinger. It is a beauty. There is not a wasp on it, but it's the Stinger, and it's coming out this week. Congratulations on the next new series of awesome Finch pocket knives. Okay, so at Capitol Hill, the House Judiciary is doing a security investigation on security breakdowns for January 6th. Let me preface this by saying this is all great information. I love this story, but I don't think it really moves the needle. We've already lost January 6th. The Democrats helped orchestrate it. They blamed Trump right away. They began all kinds of investigations and got things planted in Americans' minds and did not do anything fair and honest, where we learned things like Nancy Pelosi turned down the National Guard, that she did talk to the Capitol Police Chief three times on January 6th, even though she says she didn't, that this was orchestrated by her. It was brilliant. They're really good at this crap. They've already won. So we can't win the day back, but maybe we can move it back a little bit. And so this House Judiciary Committee is meeting, and they are releasing now transcribed testimony from the Washington Field Office Director of the FBI. And what we're learning is the FBI had all kinds of confidential human sources, CHS. This is spies. Let's just call it what it is. Plants. The FBI loaded that crowd with FBI field officers dressed as Trump supporters, integrated within, and we believe now many of them instigated all of this taking place. That it was a setup by the FBI. So here's how this goes. D'Antono, who was the field office director in Washington, explained that due to the large number of CHSs present at the Capitol, the Washington field office asked FBI headquarters to do a poll or put out something to people saying how many of us are involved so the FBI could try to ascertain how many confidential human sources had been in attendance. D'Antono stated after the outreach from headquarters was, quote, when we started getting responses back. In one example, he recalled a confidential human source from the Kansas City FBI field office on site at the Capitol that was allegedly in contact with his handler while at the event. The CHS reported to his handler while they were in the crowd saying that they were going inside the Capitol, unquote. This new information is extremely concerning. I'm now reading from the piece, not direct testimony. That was direct testimony from D'Antono, and it's very bizarre that these FBI agents were in the crowd saying, we're going inside, because you know if they were going inside, they were telling people around them to come with them, right? That's impossible to believe that didn't happen. The new information is extremely concerning. It suggests the FBI cannot adequately track the activities and operations of its informants. They lost control of the confidential human resources sources that day on January 6th. These revelations reinforce existing concerns identified as Special Counsel Durham about the FBI's use of and payment to CHSs who have fabricated evidence and misrepresented information about January 6th. The Justice Department Inspector General also identified critical problems in the FBI's program, including the FBI's failure to fully vet the CHSs and the FBI's willingness to ignore red flags that would call into question and informants' reliability. Now I've got the question of, are all these informants working for the FBI? Or, for example, is Ray Epps one of them who doesn't work for the FBI? In this case, we're talking about a Kansas City field office, CHS, so that's an FBI agent. That's a field officer that came in from Kansas City to dress up as a Trump supporter on January 6th and mingle amongst the crowd and go into the building. I can't stress this enough. If you know who this person is in Kansas City, let me know. We'll get to the bottom of it. I'll protect you. Let's find out who it was. An FBI agent, clearly a liberal in the FBI, accepts the assignment to dress up as a Trump dude, mingle amongst the crowd, and take them inside. It's right there in the testimony. It happened. We're arresting people from around here that were there that day, but what about the FBI? This person works for the FBI. If you dressed up as a Trump supporter and coerced people to go in that building, that's a crime. I don't care what. That is not part of your job at the FBI. You should be fired immediately. And now this makes it sound like there were plenty of confidential human sources that didn't work for the FBI. Is that Ray Epps? Ray Epps got slapped on a wrist with a misdemeanor yesterday after a year and a half, longer than that. 1 year and 8 months. He gets slapped on the wrist with a misdemeanor. The only misdemeanors we know of, everybody else got felonies. And now we're learning that the FBI can't tell us even remotely how many of their people were out there and what they were doing or what they were instigating. It's appalling. It is absolutely appalling. Oh my God, they're so good. The Democrats are so good at what they do. They just own all these things. They work them behind the scenes. The media's complicit. They develop a narrative. They smear, and then when the truth comes out, 2 years later, 2.5 years later, almost 3 years later, nobody's paying attention. It's old news. It doesn't matter. It's like it's stamped on our brain, and nothing will change with the American public, and it is so, so frustrating. The real problem here, and we had testimony this week in front of the House Judiciary as well, is that the Capitol Police Chief said Pelosi lied. While she was working with her film crew that day for her documentary, I spoke with her 3 times. I continue to ask her about more resources. There's a big crowd down there. You want more resources? We spoke three times that day. Pelosi is on record as saying she never spoke to the Capitol Police Chief. He is under oath saying he spoke with her three times, and he has the phone records that he spoke to her. Where was that in the January 6th investigation that the freaks put on display? Maybe we need our own. That's kind of what this is, but it's not. Isn't that a fireable offense for Nancy Pelosi? Can't the House impeach her? Can't they run her out of Congress for lying about whether or not she spoke with the Capitol Police Chief on January 6th? She has lied that she did not speak with him. She has not admitted that she turned down the National Guard from President Trump. President Trump has emails that were sent over from the White House to her offering the National Guard for security around the Capitol. It was declined. If anyone committed a crime on January 6th, it's Nancy Pelosi. If anyone is to blame for anything that took place that you think was evil or dangerous, it's Nancy Pelosi. And it's not close. KKHI is brought to you by Earth Effects Outdoor, EE Landscape. All right, this is your new landscaping company. Give them a call this fall and see what they can do for you. Maybe they can help you out with aerating your lawn. You looking forward to that? Let's do it. Aerate it right now. They can get you done in the next week or two. Put that seed down for you and reset that lawn. 816-478-7700. They're online at eeoutdoor.com. EE Landscaping, Earth Effects Landscaping, lawn and landscape. They do it all. They even do great projects like building outdoor kitchens, fire pits, hardscapes, lighting. If you got a problem with your lights, they do service as well. They're great American patriots. All your landscaping needs with one phone call or one log on. Landscaping, eeoutdoor.com, 816-478-7700. The new car image from Belton to Lawrence, they'll come to you and detail your car. They will maintain your vehicle from top to bottom if you'd like them to. That's cleaning, servicing, licensing, getting the plates. They'll do all that. If you're busy, you don't want to do that, they'll do that for you and your family and your cars. They'll do it all. They'll start maintaining your cars on a weekly or monthly basis if you'd like. They can initiate the service appointments if needed. You name it. This is your concierge for your vehicle. TheNewCarImage.com. 816-499-1470. That's 816-499-1470. And they love to work with companies that have fleets of cars or trucks or service vehicles and keep them operating smoothly, properly tagged, maintained to where they look good on the road representing your company. Call Brad for details. 816-499-1470. TheNewCarImage.com. Back 9 Developments, your custom builder in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, and Manhattan. A meeting with TJ Vilkanskis is the place to start. If you've got some land and you want to build, if you've got a commercial project, a development, or you just want to build your beautiful custom home, he's building several in the Kansas City area right now, and you can even see one coming up. I'm going to get information on this in the next few weeks. You could see one of his homes on the parade coming up this fall. 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161 for back9development.com. We're 1 week from the next GOP debate. That's at the Reagan Library in California. I am bored by debates without Donald Trump. He has set the bar for all debates. Debates are uninteresting unless Donald Trump is there, period. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. Vivek Ramaswamy's interesting and can be fun, but he's not Trump. Trump debates are fun. They're entertainment. They're politics and entertainment. That's why so many people watch them. Trump on Wednesday night, while the debate is taking place, is skipping it, and he'll be in Detroit speaking to hundreds of United Auto workers who are on strike against Ford, GM, and Chrysler. Because Trump is going to give this speech, the Dems have lost their minds. One leaked operative with the Biden campaign leaked to Politico, a left-wing deal, quote, saying about Trump, quote, he boxed Biden in. It was actually kind of genius, unquote. That's right. Biden can't go speak to the auto workers now because Trump is. And this operative said, if Biden goes now, it'll look like he's only reacting to Donald Trump. And that's correct. Trump is speaking to the auto workers. Trump's getting the union vote. These auto workers are voting for Trump. They love him. The union vote is gone from the Democrats. They've lost it. Not union management completely, but the union workers certainly are Republicans now. Trump did that for this party. He has swung that. He has gained in the black vote. He has gained in the Hispanic vote. Where Trump has fallen short of most Republicans previously is with suburban white women. That's where he has trouble. And he is up 9 points with suburban white women right now from where he was prior to the 2020 election. They possibly are seeing the light that we don't have to like the guy, but he's good for my family. There's a lot of that going on. And this Trump, I won't call this genius because he's an instinctive politician. Trump is not a genius politician. He's just instinctive. And he knows that going and speaking to the auto workers is the right thing to do. He's dealt with this a million times. Building skyscrapers all over the world and stuff with unionized workforces, he's dealt with this a million. There is nobody that knows, there's never been a president that knows the working man more than Donald Trump. It just hasn't happened. He has spent his entire life around workers. Like workers, job sites, real workers. You want to know why, you know, that one tape where he said he grabbed the girl by the crotch and whatever. Like, dude, that's the way they talk on the job site. I used to do that before I did this. I ran a jackhammer. I worked at the water company. I was on an asphalt crew. My dad was in concrete. He had me out there when I was 16. I know how they talked. I know these people very well. And many of them were union workers. Local 101, my dad was in it. I know how they talk. I know how they think. I know how they act. Kind of like it, actually. It's okay. You're around a whole bunch of men. Act like men. It's a locker room. It's okay to act masculine. It's kind of okay to be a dick every now and then. When you're around a bunch of guys, it's okay. There were no women around. I'm not saying there aren't women around on the job site now, but there weren't. And there weren't in the locker rooms. And this is the way football and baseball players have always talked through the years. And eventually some female reporters came in and they got offended by it. I'm like, you're in a toxic man space. It's the way things work. Trump knows these people. He's going to speak to these auto workers. It's going to be brilliant. Somebody wants to go ahead and televise that. I'll watch that instead of the debate. No problem. But the Democrats have lost their freaking mind over this. They're like, oh my God, he is just taking the union vote right away from us. And he is. He is absolutely. United Auto Workers, that's got to be 80-20 Trump over Biden at this point. Again, I'm not talking about management. They're liberal to the core. But these voters are going to go in and vote privately. They're going to be told to vote for the Democrat in many cases, and they're going to go vote for Trump. I know what they're going to do. I just know it. All right, on to sports. Sports Today brought to you by Fry Orthodontics. 13 locations, now 14. He's in Lawrence. FryOrthodontics.com. Dr. Jeremy was a lot of fun to play golf with on Monday. You know, this was a charitable endeavor. He supported the charity, the Chiefs Ambassadors Charity Tournament, in a strong way. He does a lot of things. Like, he doesn't like me talking about that, but he does a lot of things. He works with kids. Jeremy does a lot. Jeremy's a really deep-thinking, interesting guy. Like, he's just a good, really good human being. And this is a great company. And if you want a perfect smile, Fry Orthodontics is the place to go. Whether it's Invisalign or braces, you know this by now. It's the same price. Nobody else does that. They're really, his passion, and we talked about this at great length on Monday, his passion is basically reinventing and setting the standard for the industry. Not in Kansas City, for the industry, nationwide. Become the best orthodontics in America. The best experience for the patient. That's what his goal is every single day, and they're doing it. I think you'll find that out. When you visit FryOrthodontics.com to schedule your first appointment, it's always free. Just mention Kevin Keatsman has issues. 360 Document Solutions is online at 360documentsolutions.com. Folks, this is another one of our great companies that's all about service. And you've probably heard me talking about them before, and maybe you haven't acted. You have copiers, you have printers, you have business machines, you have phone systems at your office. We can set you up with something better that costs less, and you'll have somebody right here that can service for you. Because when your stuff goes haywire, you're on the phone with somebody in Haiti or something, trying to troubleshoot what's going wrong with your machines. Don't do that. 360 is a local company. They work regionally here in Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. They would love to work with you and show you, prove to you that performance is everything, not just with the quality of your business machines, but with the quality of the people and the service that you receive. That's the white glove. 913-745-5344. 913-745-5344. 360documentsolutions.com. Give them a chance to earn your business. And Advanced Medical Imaging is online at medimageks.com. When you need an MRI or a CT scan, there is no reason to wait. It used to be 2, 3, 4 weeks, but I have a friend recently who had to wait 6 weeks to get an MRI. Are you kidding me? Do not do it. Your insurance is good at Advanced Medical Imaging. They take all major insurance carriers. medimageks.com. If you want to get a heart scan, that's out of pocket. It's under $100. Find out the plaque score on your heart. It's an important thing to do, especially if you're 40 or older. A lot of people have taken the shot as well. You might want to go check it out. Get a good look at it after taking the shot. MedimageKS.com or call for an appointment, 785-856-0224. Well, I saw something really great, and I don't think he uncovered it, but boy, he exposed it in a big way, and that's Jason Whitlock on Twitter last night had a cringeworthy moment for Deion Sanders, not for Jason. And Jason and I, at this point, agree and see the world in almost identical ways. When we worked together all those years, it wasn't necessarily the case. But it is now. And I told my buddy this weekend, I said, it's amazing in 3 weeks' time that I've gone for rooting like crazy for Deion Sanders to kind of like, I'd like to see him get kicked in the teeth here tonight. I'd like to see Colorado State win this one. People are going to get tired of Deion real fast. Really fast. And the more he's in front of the camera and the more he talks, the more opportunity he has for blunders, gaffes, slip-ups. And he's been exposed. And I think the local people in Colorado knew this story, but it was not going to become a national story. They were going to give him a free pass because they love him, what they're doing for media and all that stuff. And ticket sales, everything's great. Especially in the Denver market. But it happened at his news conference, and Jason pointed this out on his podcast, and it was, well, part of the graphic that he had was a missile falling to the ground, an explosion. That's exactly what it was. Deion Sanders was asked a question about his starting center in the game against Colorado State, which was a double overtime win for Colorado. They're now 3-0, and I'm not sure they're that good. He was asked a question about the center who made his first start, apparently played pretty well. And he said, who? And the reporter repeated the name. I think the guy's name's Hank or something. Let's just use the name Hank. He's like, Hank, who? And he looks around, he's like, Hank. And the reporter says, your center, the starting center, Hank, whatever. And then Deion's answer was like, I don't know. I haven't looked at the tape. Everybody stepped up. We won the game. He has no idea who his center is. Deion Sanders does not know the name of the player that snaps the ball to his son. I want you to think about that for a second. The head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, does not know the name of the player that snaps the football to his son who plays quarterback. That's unbelievable. We're not talking about some walk-on that filled in on special teams. You know, number 83 on the roster. This is now your starting center this week. So the coordinator doesn't even tell him, hey, we're starting a new center. We got this going on. He doesn't see it in practice. Nothing. How does Deion not know this? I think what we're going to find out with Deion, and this is not an insult. This could work. He's a promoter. He's a marketer. And he's a delegator. He's not really a coach now, is he? What coach would not know the name of the center snapping the ball to their own son? I've never heard of such a thing. But we've never seen anybody in a position like this. He promotes, he markets, he delegates, and they're 3-0. Not saying it can't work. If he gets the best players and his coaching staff's good, Deion won't have to do any coaching. My guess is Deion spends a lot of time with the defensive backs. It's probably his passion, maybe the wide receivers. And maybe he's more like a position coach out there at practice. And I'll bet he's great at it. But like knowing the whole roster and close to all these, no, he's delegating, man. Hey, Deion, come on, he's important. He's busy. He's got dinner with The Rock. He's got Michael Irvin over to the house. He's got all this stuff going on. You can't know the name of the center. Too busy for that. Injury reports are out for our local teams. Not good. Well, not much with Kansas. We're good. Kansas looks okay here. Oh, by the way, KU got its first sellout of the year. They're sold out against BYU 2:30 on Saturday. Their first sellout this year. Congratulations to KU. Brady Cook at Missouri with his hyperextended knee, which is what Travis Kelce has, is listed as day-to-day. Doesn't sound terrible. College players are tougher than pro players. We've said this many times. Most people hear that and don't believe it. It's true. College players will play hurt a lot more than pro players will, and teams are much more cautious with players that they pay a lot of money to, and they get them out of games and want them healthy before they keep going. That hasn't reached college football yet. So we had Brady Cook and Will Howard both hurt at the end of the game and both playing on the game Saturday. In Manhattan, it was the week from hell. It was the road trip from hell. Will Howard has a leg injury. He is listed as questionable for Saturday. My guess is we're going to see a lot of Avery Johnson this game, but Will Howard will play. But we'll see. He's got a leg injury. He's listed as questionable. Daniel Green, their captain on defense, their star linebacker, is out for the year. He had surgery yesterday. He is out for the year. Trayshawn Ward, the transfer from Florida State, playing running back, is out this week. It has been a bad week at K-State, and the injury report is even worse. On to Chiefs news. Chiefs set a record. You may be aware of this. Maybe I'm the only one that didn't hear this. I received an email from Steve. He's patron number 6 is how he identifies himself. He was number 6. He was the 6th person to sign up to be a patron of KKHI 3 years ago. We appreciate you, Steve. Thank you. He sent me an email, said, did you see this? The Chiefs set a record with their win over the Jaguars. I did not see this. Chiefs set an NFL record by having a 35th consecutive game without losing by more than 4 points. All right, so that sounds a little obscure, but it's not when you think about it. 35 straight games, every single game, you either won or lost by 4 points or less. That was a 55-year-old record set by the Green Bay Packers. This is the epic, historic Packers did that. They had 54 games in a row. Last time the Chiefs lost by more than 4 was 2021 to the Tennessee Titans, 27-3. After they lost 27-3, they went on to win 8 straight. And in these 35 games, by the way, the Chiefs are 29-6 with a playoff loss. 29-6, and the 6 losses were 4 points or less. That is unbelievable. Congratulations to the Chiefs. 55-year-old record. They will most certainly extend that on Sunday against the Bears. Patrick Mahomes was on 610 Sports Radio with Carrington Harrison. Carrington Harrison is the best sports host in Kansas City. It is not close. He knows what the stories are. He is interesting. He is funny. He's irreverent. He has strong opinions, and he doesn't waste time with garbage on his show. I mean, that's all you could want. Because he's at 610, he gets to do what I used to do. They have the agreement with the Chiefs where he gets the quarterback every Monday. It's a segment I invented. And he gets Patrick Mahomes. I had Patrick Mahomes' first year, he was on every week with me. After I was gone, the Chiefs went to 610. And now he's on with Carrington Harrison. So Mahomes is on, and Carrington asks a great question. After watching Travis Kelce score and boot the living daylights out of the ball into the stands on Sunday, should Andy think about having Travis Kelce punt? And Mahomes said, if that happened, I'd be pissed. If Travis Kelce gets to punt before I do, I'm going to be really pissed. I've been trying to get a punt for 5 years now. And I promise you, when I get the punt, I'm going to pin it inside the 5-yard line. Mahomes later said, the problem is Tommy Townsend pins it inside the 2, which he did in this game at one point. It's funny stuff. He's a great interviewer. He asks great, serious questions and then some fun ones as well. If you're listening to any sports radio still on AM, 610, 2-6, Carrington Harrison. He's really interesting. And Rob Brenton's his producer and sort of co-host, and Rob used to work with us over at 810. I've known Rob Brenton for years. Good dude. Knows sports inside and out. Has really developed, okay? Like, here's one of these guys. Like, Carrington's got some natural gifts. Rob's really developed his. He was a really fast talker. Like Ben Shapiro. Like, you couldn't understand him so fast. Well, nobody's helping Ben Shapiro. He just keeps talking that fast. Rob's really done a nice job learning how to be a contributor on that show while he's also the producer. Interesting show. Give it a listen. 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio, weekday afternoons. Interesting stuff. Royals ballpark update. This is really nice. It's at RoyalsReview.com. Royals have won 6 out of 7. They won again on Tuesday night. At Royals Review, they did a story of what it has cost elsewhere to build ballparks. The Royals won't need $1 billion to build their stadium. They have $1 billion privately for the stuff around the stadium, but they need $1 billion to build the stadium. They say $300 billion is going to come from the sales tax in Jackson County being extended. That sounds high to me. I don't know how that thing is generating $300 billion or $300 million. And if it is generating $300 million, what are the Royals doing with all that money? Because it's currently a tax that's in place. But that still leaves them $700 million short. The Royals say they're going to ask the state and the city for money. State and city aren't coming up with $700 million. Where's the rest of this money coming from? We just keep asking, and nobody has the answer. RoyalsReview.com, they listed some other ballparks and what the investment was by the public. In Dallas, $500 million from the public. Tampa Bay has an initiative for a new stadium for $650 million of public funds. Nevada only had to give $380 million in tax credits, but it's easy to see why that number is so low. It's low because the A's are moving to Las Vegas, and they're going to make a pile of money. They are more than willing to spend their money to build their own stadium because it's in Las Vegas, and they're about to get rich. They're going to make billions of dollars in Las Vegas playing baseball. In Wisconsin, they want to renovate their dome. That thing doesn't seem very old to me. And Wisconsin's proposing $614 million of public funding for a renovation. You better believe the Royals have their eyes set on $750 million of the billion. Now, how are they going to get there? I don't know, but it's an interesting read at RoyalsReview.com. Dale Mooney, tragically, 53 years old, the 30-year New England Patriots season ticket holder, died at the game on Sunday night when he got into a fist fight with a Dolphins fan. We're learning more about Dale Mooney now. We don't know if the punch killed him or if he had a heart attack while they were fighting or what. We don't have that yet, but this looks like probably manslaughter or something. 14 years ago, Dale Mooney was at a beach in New England, and a little girl, a 7-year-old girl or something, was trapped between some rocks by the breakers, and the tide started to come in, and the waves would come, and he could see her, and I don't know where her parents were or what was going on, but he was closest to her. And these waves started breaking over her head, and she was screaming for help. And he went running to her rescue and got in the water with her. So what she was standing in shallow water between some rocks, but then the tide and the waves started coming in and bouncing her around between these rocks, and it would come up over her head as the water was rising. He got in, and it was a 30-mile-an-hour wind day, and he got in, and the water was up to above his waist, as he described it. And in very short order, as he was grabbing her and trying to get her out, the water was coming up to like his neck. So he put her up on his shoulders and got her out of there, and was at the time locally acclaimed as a hero for saving a girl's life. Now, were there other people around that could have gotten in there and done that? Maybe even probably, but he was the first guy to get in there and do it. And he winds up dying at a Patriots game, and he loved his Patriots on Sunday night. Fighting with the Dolphins fan. What a shame. Our final is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com. All things Chevy, Buick, GMC, home of the lifetime warranty. Shop online, deliver at home, build your own. 0.9% financing available on many models now at robertsrobinson.com. Call Tim Trader. You can look at their inventory there or call Tim. Many of you have just called Tim and said, this is what I'm looking for. Can you find it or build it for me? 816-826-1563. Put him to work for you. If he can't get it for you, he'll tell you. Or you can have it built. 816-826-1563. RobertsRobinson.com. Chevrolet. Find new roads. Ideal Health KC is online at IdealHealthKC.com. Dr. Kip Van Camp does regenerative medicine using tissues from your own body or spinning your own blood to make you healthy again. If you have tried everything through traditional doctors and medicine, taken every pill, taken every jab, and you still don't feel well, whether it's joint pain, you're lethargic, COVID shot issues? Why not have a consultation with Dr. Van Camp? IdealHealthKC.com, 913-745-5300. Okay, our final today is brought to you by KKHI and the KKHI list. This is real easy. It's the KKList.com. All of our sponsors are right there. Go check it out. Any old time, the KKList.com. They're all in one place. Our final is an artist in Denmark that now owes $77,000 back to a gallery, two galleries, for two paintings he was commissioned to do about wages, about the average wages of workers in Denmark and wherever. Doesn't matter. So he did these paintings, original paintings, that were about wages and earnings. They loved him so much, they commissioned him to do two more that they could hang in their gallery. And the average wages, I guess, are something like $38,000 and some change. This is American money. They have a different currency there, but I'm just giving you American dollars. So the idea was they were going to give him this cash and he was going to incorporate it into the paintings and paint the money on it in sort of the same theme as what the other one was. Well, he's an artist and he signed a contract that says he's in charge of the art and the final product. Okay. So he delivers to them two blank canvases that have bumps on them. There's some bumps. They look like, they look like Braille. They look like blank white canvases with Braille bumps on them. It's kind of what it looked like. There was no paint at all. And he titled the series, the two paintings, Take the Money and Run. And he kept the $77,000 cash for himself. And didn't use them with the paintings. This was not money paid to him. He got paid separately to do the paintings. That was a separate amount to be paid. The money was to be incorporated within the paint. The idea was to put the bills on the deal and paint them into the painting. And he kept it for himself. He said, hey, I had artistic control. I can do whatever I want. I sent him blank canvas and kept the money for myself. It's taken 2 years and a full lawsuit, and he's lost and now has to give the money back. Apparently his contract was not ironclad enough. They put them up in the museums, two different art galleries. They put them up and above it, it said, there, take the money and run. That was the title. And you're sitting there staring at a blank canvas with little Braille bumps on them. I do not want to offend any of you that are art lovers or museum goers. I like museums. I like history museums. I love history museums. I don't get paintings and I don't get art and I don't think I ever will or ever care to. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I am who I am. It's just, wow. It's this dude. I almost feel like he was ripped off that he ought to be able to keep the money. If they're that damn stupid, the gallery was that stupid to do that, I feel like he should have won just based on their stupidity. And there it is, this Wednesday episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.